Yes, sir. I follow your orders. Now, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed about spiritual gifts. You realize that when you were pagans, you were attracted and carried away again to dumb idols. Therefore, I make known to you that no one who is speaking in the Spirit of God says, "Accursed is Jesus." And no one can say, "Yes, Lord," save by the Holy Spirit. Well, two things that we need to keep in our mind, that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, any energy in the human person or in God is always attributed to a source called Spirit.
Any energy is attributed to a source called Spirit.
So, Spirit, not necessarily the Spirit of God. It could be an energy in the world, spirit of deception, demonic spirit, evil spirit, the spirit of culture, spirit of civilization, an energy that is not entirely material, but it has its own power, its own energy that can exercise influence on the human person, such as you go to the movie and see a depressing movie. I remember once we went and so a Swedish film called The Lady with a Tattooed Dragon.
With a dragon tattoo.
Something like that. And one of the ladies came with us, just walked out. There was certain things I don't want to mention. And she didn't come back. She stayed in the cafeteria till it was over. She could not stay with what was on the screen. And it's such a dark, gripping reality of the power of evil. And then as we sat in the cafeteria, she said, "Why did we come?" I said, "Because I think we are foolish. We pay money to become miserable." Pay some money. You know, you pay about, what, $7, $8, something like that. If you are, senior citizen, you know. And then, you know, what do you see? You see something gripping, horrifying, frightening. And after a day or two, you still see traces in your own life, in your own feelings. There was a scene once in a movie of a man who's hiding managed to get in a garage of a house and was hiding in the garage, and as the lady drove in, after he raped her, he killed her. And one of our friends, you know, will insist that if she's driving by herself, someone has to be with her in the garage. You know, that what we call a spirit is something mental, psychological, exercise, influence on the person. So, in paganism, and paganism is not actually idols, have a statue of the idol, of the gods. No, there is more than that in it. It's a way of life. People draw their energy from magical things, from incantation, we had a young kid about 7 years old, came to our house last Saturday. And he was sitting like a Buddha and was doing the mantra, Om, if you heard about it. It's the most common mantra. And where do you learn that? I said, at school. It calms me, makes me peaceful, enlightened, because I'm not interested in anything you are talking about. We all adults. I mean, there is a sense there were no children in the meeting. There was only little kid in the meeting. And I said, I give you a bar of chocolate. It's better than Om. It will calm you better. Funny enough, when he had the chocolate, he forgot about the Om. You know? So there is something that links our inner life to an outside power, outside practice, outside source of energy. Sometimes we are not aware of it, sometimes you are aware of it. And the best way is to think inwardly, separately from what goes around you. Egypt is the land of the black magic. It is the land of black magic, really. There is on every street in Cairo a black magician, a Christian or a Muslim. Christian, Muslim, between brackets, you know. It's handed over from one to the next one. And they make more money more than the doctors. So it's a good trade. Some of it certainly has demonic power, no doubt about it. Because there is a force in the universe that we do not understand. There is something that drives a rational creature called human person into irrational behavior, improper, absolutely absurd. And you think it is psychological? Yes. Mental illness? Yes. But there is something more than that in it. That the human will is captivated and is not free. Now, we agree with psychotherapists and medical psychiatry that it is an illness. But the area of disagreement is why the human will is not free to say no. What makes a human person driven? As Paul says here, you know, you were carried away again and again to dumb idols. There is an attraction in the New Age. I don't know how much you know about the New Age in America today. I happen to know a great deal about the New Age in Britain. And that could be totally different from what you have here in America. Could be. But there is a method that you learn, things that are given to you to distract you from yourself, and you go revolving around a center of practice, a center of energy that takes you away from your own freedom of will and makes you feel better for a while. And then comes back again. So you go back again and again. It almost becomes like people addicted to drugs, you know. When they get their dose, they are fine. When it starts to wear off, they have to come back and get the same dose. So, what was the major problem in Corinth? We know from archaeology and from church history and from the pagan writings that there were three main centers of paganism at Corinth. People will go to a priest or a priestess in a temple, kill an animal, look inside the animal, and tell the fortune. That still goes here in this country, by the way. Not among white people like you. Sorry to refer to the white people. but among people from the Native Americans and the Africans. There is a sense of, I want to know what to do with a runaway husband or a runaway wife. What happened to my daughter who disappeared and the police can't find her? Where is she? So there's always, do you use that word in a voodoo? You know, a kind of a magician. So in paganism, there were many people attached to the temples in the days of Paul who will tell you where is your wife, where is your daughter, what time is the best time to load your ship and to go to the Middle East and buy certain things and sell them in Rome, and how much money you're going to do to make, you know. Which time of the year is the best time to sail? Which time of the year you have to buy a slave? Which time of the year you have to make a banquet for the marriage of your daughter? You know, and so forth. It is highly organized, and it grabbed people, went through it to the dumb idols. Dumb because the statue doesn't speak, but there is a power that can speak on behalf of the statue, and that is the priest. I think I told you the story that once we were at Dearborn, and just before we get in the car, I put the New Testament, Arabic New Testament, in my pocket. And at Dearborn, you know, there's a big mall on the American side, and there is the Arab side, you know, where you are in the Middle Ages, you know. And then I sat in the food quarters while May was shopping. And I was to read the Arabic New Testament, sit on a small table, another table, there were a couple. And he said, what are you reading? I said, the New Testament. What language is that? I said, Arabic. What's the New Testament? And I said, aren't you Christians? No, we are heathen. Now I said, no, you're pulling my leg. There aren't any heathens left in America. And so they left their table and came and sat at my table. Really? And they said, yes. What do you worship? We worship Mother Gaia. Gaia is Earth. It's a Greek name for Earth. That's not good, is it? Why? So I read Psalm 135, which here in the handout, that the idols and the gods of the earth are dumb, they don't speak, and those who worship these gods become like them. You know, you become like what you worship. And the woman started to listen to me. And she was wearing a very strange star. 5-point star. And I said, what is that? Of course I know what is it, but you know it's good to ask. What is it? And they said, that is to protect him from evil power. And I said, that's very strange. How can something material made of silver protect you from something spiritual? We talked and talked, and the husband became very nervous. Said, let's leave. This man wants to convert us. Let's get out. She was very much open than her husband. But, you know, when we came to the Mother Gaia, you know, Mother Earth, when I insisted that you become like what you worship, and I started by saying, if you worship your husband, and your husband worship you, the attraction and the relationship add something to your life from him. And so become like him in many things. At least start to think like him. Or to act like him. Or to act in fear of him, you know. Or to please him. So there is something about him in you. Isn't that right? And you said, yes, okay. That will happen to you when earth becomes your God. You become very earthly. It ended that she asked for a Bible in English, which I did not have. So I used to be attached to College Park Church at that time, so I gave her the address of the church, and she came, actually, and got a Bible. On the way to where Notre Dame is,
South Bend.
They stopped in Indiana, and I was not in church. The lady at the reception gave her a Bible, and that was the story. And you know, there is that attraction of, I like to do anything that will help me to sort out my problems. But sometimes sorting out problems require an inner reflection. We human beings, out of the fear of death, out of mortality, fear of mortality, we magnify our problems.
We magnify
our problems.
By doing what?
I'll give you an example, you know. If someone has a headache, it's a brain cancer. But it could be your teeth, could be your eyes, could be your blood pressure, could be anything. Why go for the highest level of fear? Why we magnify our problems? Because simply we are afraid for life. Fear for your life is good if it is under control. But when it is beyond control, it's no longer good. It's actually a threat to your freedom. You know, we magnify our problems by anything that is threatening life on the telly. You start to look at your house. Are the windows secure? And there is an alarm. You know? How many firearms you got? I went to a house, one of our friends, and just accidentally, because I know Americans love guns and handguns, and I said to him, do you have any firearms in the house? And I said, yes. How many? And I said, I don't know. And I said, what? One, two? No, come and show you. And he took me to the bedroom and opened the safe made of steel. And I looked inside. I counted 35 pieces. And I said, what are you expecting an army to come and attack you? And said, no, some of them are for collection, you know, and I'm going to sell them. But, you know, here is my best. It's a submachine gun he puts next to him when he goes to sleep. And I said, I do hope that in the night you don't have a nightmare and you're not going to kill your wife or kill someone in the house. Because, you know, fear for life is what drives us to irrational behavior. So, what Paul is trying to say here, from chapter 12 to 13 and 14, it is that area of what we call spirituality. If you have time, and you have a lot of money on your bank account, go to Barnes and Noble, you know, and go to the section called spirituality, you know, you will see, I counted about 2-3 months ago, I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, 480 new books on spirituality. I went to the Christian section. I'm sorry, I have to confess to you, some of the books are really boring. You read them and you go fast asleep. But the spirituality has a lot of deception, really. Number one, it gives you a system without God. You are the center. Any system that has no God in it, I don't trust, simply because God is the source of life. Amen. You teach me anything that has no life in it, system. You know, like the om thing. Like, if you are distressed, breathe in, see, that's fine. breathe out, and say something. I am good. I'm great. But, so, you know, but
people like me.
What?
It's an American joke.
Okay. You are good. You are great. You continue to be good and great because you are God's child. You are loved by God more than anything in the universe. The whole universe is created for you. So, everything in life is a gift given by God to you. So, system without God is a disaster. It is dumb. It could be an idol. I attended so many classes with the Buddhists and the New Age in England because I was doing that in the university. I was given £5,000 by the university to go to attend the Buddhist sessions, to pay money to get in. Yes. Before I started to teach the course on Buddhism. And it was a great discovery. It's all about how you reflect on yourself through a method. Number two, and that is a disaster in itself, and I don't like it, that you have to negate yourself.
Negate yourself. So number one, system without God.
Number two is self-negation. You are not that person, you are this and that. But you know, the trick is to negate yourself, you need a self.
To negate.
To do the negation. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. And after you negate yourself, what are you?
Empty.
What are you? You know, the Buddhists will say to you, and then you age, empty your thoughts and your mind from everything. Fine. And then? What then? Then you will be fine. No. We say, sort them out. Things that are not necessary,
get
rid of them.
You mean in your mind?
Ah, yes, in your mind.
Christianity.
Yeah, I know.
Things that are not necessary. You know, we have a verb in both Hebrew and in Greek. It doesn't reach us in English. We call it forgive. And when we say forgive yourself means let go. Let go. A neighbor put some paint on your car, let go. The kids, destroyed the kitchen windows by a baseball ball, let go. You know.
Your husband offended you.
Let go. A wife burned the meat because she was very busy on the telephone or text messages, you know, let go. Go and get some fast food from anywhere. You know, it's by letting go, you free yourself. By freeing yourself, you arrive at peace. You are not led back to something in your life that is enslaving. You know, captured you. We are told in Christian and Jewish tradition that the human soul, by its nature, is on constant rotation and movement. And that is an advantage, not a disadvantage. Because when we rotate, we are renewed. If we remain in one state of mind, you know what does it mean in medical psychiatry? Madness. You know?
Madness.
I used to see people, 40, 50 years old, who say, I am Hitler, I am Napoleon. And tell them they have been killed or shot dead by the Allies. You know? And Napoleon has been dead for 200 years. You are not Napoleon. No, I am Napoleon. We used to have in the clinic someone have the mustache of Hitler, tailored a suit like Hitler, having the swastika, walks like Hitler, imitate the German. He didn't love himself. in the natural way. He adopted a self-image because he hated Britain. He was British. He was actually English, Anglo-Saxon. But for somehow, his dislike of his own country made him make a U-turn to adopt the most hated figure among the British. And he just said in society, I am going to frighten you. But to frighten the people around you, you know, does not bring sarcastic remarks. When you walk in the streets in the heat of the summer wearing these heavy leather boots, and you know, and just walking like a German officer, everybody will recognize you and laugh at you. They think something funny in your head. You are not writing anything. But he lives in that cocoon of a rejection of society. Now, that is a kind of a complete illusion of a soul that's not rotating anymore, stopped. How can we reverse it? I talked to Frank Lake once. What can we do to our Hitler? And he said, George, he received 15 electric shocks on his brain. Yes, which is too much, the maximum dose actually. And he is back to his old trick again. Any hope? And he said, no, only Christ can do it. What's wrong with this man? And he said, we tried our best with medicine, with psychotherapy. We can't get into the depths of his soul to discover what's wrong with him. We can't. He himself doesn't know why he hates society so much. Now, that person is no longer rotating. If you are rotating and you forget things, thank God. In Hebrew and in Arabic and in Aramaic, in the Semitic language, the word human is insan. And the root comes from forgetfulness. You know? Man is called man, that's in Aramaic, because he has forgetfulness. Forget about it. And you know, to forget about something is certainly a renewal. Now you were led, carried by dumb idols. And then if you are speaking, you say, accursed is Jesus. You have in the handout all what the New Testament scholar said about anathema Jesus, anathema Jesus.
About,
you know, some people said it is Jewish, some people said it is pagan, some people said that even Paul, as a fanatic Jew, must have said it when he was persecuting the church. We don't know. But it is quite common in the ancient Mediterranean culture, if you join a religious group, you have to anathematize the former group to which you used to belong.
Anathematize.
Maybe it is in modern America too.
Is that
their form? I don't know. That if you want to join a particular church, which is very sectarian, you have to anathematize other church. Maybe. I have seen it in England. You know, that you have to sign a statement of confession of faith, and you know, it's a big thing. I don't believe in this, I believe in that, but there is no anathema. You know, but there is that old culture, you know, that they want to take you in your totality. You know, there is a dividing line, accursed is Jesus, and then just Christ is Lord is the opposite. So, Paul is saying, if you have the Spirit of God, you should say, Jesus Christ is Lord. You cannot really say, Jesus Christ is accursed. Now, what does accursed actually mean? If you know a little bit of Hebrew and you are among Orthodox Jews, you can hear one word in Hebrew addressed about you. They call you Bar Manim. the accursed one, the son of hell, the son of destruction. You know, this is the desire to say, I don't belong to this side now. But Paul says, no. If you have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God should make you able to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And that is why here in the church, all the fights, my dear friends, is about the gifts of the Spirit.
All the fights?
Yes. On page 2 and onward, you know, you will see that the problem in the days of Paul was speaking in tongues. Today, still among certain groups in the charismatic renewal, if you don't speak in tongues, you have not received the Holy Spirit. I'm pretty sure it's the same. You must have been through that or heard about it, right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. But Paul says no. The real truth about the work of the Spirit in your heart is to say, Christ is Lord. As for speaking in tongues or not, it is secondary. But you know, we have that desire to go for something higher. You know, I speak in tongues, I'm better than you. You know, I'm better than you. But that's a sign of pride.
Yes.
The Spirit will not give someone the gift of tongues in order to gain authority. If there is a tongue and I stick to that, a tongue means a language, a proper language. And as for that kind of gibberish we hear in some of the meetings, well, I will not say it is a gift of tongues. I can't say it is tongues, because the people in the book of Acts, the first manifestation of tongues in the book of Acts is very clear. Doesn't require a big brain to tell us that everybody was present when the day of Pentecost came, heard a proper language. All you need to do is to go back to Acts chapter 2 verse 8, and then it says, then how it is that each of us hears them in his own native tongue, language. And he gives you a list. You know, even Arabs, Arabic was spoken of the Pentecost. I'm sorry, not English. you know, gives you Greek, Persian, Egyptian, you know, every language of the Mediterranean, including Arabs.
Including King James?
well, let's say including King James. You know, it was proper tongues. But you know, if we restrict the work of the Spirit according to our own agenda, you know what we have done? We told the Spirit, you are not allowed to work freely. You have to work according to our own desire, under our direction. And the Spirit will say, okay, I'll leave you to your own device. Maybe goodbye. Stick to your plans. I have different plan. And you know, funny enough, when Moses selected 70 elders, 2 were absent from the camp. And the Spirit of the Lord came on 68 and the two were absent. But the people found the two prophesying also. They were not in the camp. And they said, how come? They were not with us. Well, simply because the Spirit of the Lord does not limit himself to the camp where Moses is. We had a debate once. That's for you, lady from India. I got many years ago, the church, you know, this is how we behave as Christians. The church in South India is split between two groups. Group believe that St. Thomas is the founder of the church, and other group said, Thomas? Thomas is not an apostle. Because according to the Gospel of John, when Christ breathed and said, I receive the Holy Spirit, Thomas was not there. So he did not receive the Holy Spirit with the others. He is not an apostle. So some people from India wrote a letter to me. Do you remember someone called Paul Varghese, a bishop in Kerala? Okay, this is someone, a lot of people wrote, what do you think? Our church, you know, does not belong to St. Thomas. He was not present when Christ said, receive the Holy Spirit. So I quoted the incident of the camp when Moses elected the 70. And I said, the Spirit of the Lord fills the universe. And I quoted ancient Christian commentaries on the Gospel of John that Thomas, by saying, you know, making his confession, my Lord and my God, is a confession by the Holy Spirit. So receive the Holy Spirit. And that created a discomfort between me and the Syrian Christians in Syria, who want to deprive the people in India from their apostolic origin. I don't believe that there is a church under the sun has apostolic origin. The apostles passed, each body claimed someone for themselves. Maybe, I don't know. It's past history, you know. But you see, if I don't like you, troublemaker. You know, if I don't like you, I can create a case from the scriptures against you. It's very easy. You know who can do it in the most precise, elegant way?
Devil.
The devil. The devil. The devil. Yeah, the devil.
He can do what in the precise?
Can cook a case.
He can accuse you very accurately.
Yeah. Can prepare something, a good thesis, you know, offer it to you. I kept saying, were the people who said that St. Thomas did not receive the Holy Spirit, are they mindless? If he says, yes, Christ is Lord, receive the Holy Spirit. It's like when I gave communion to non-Orthodox in Egypt, and I was told that the evangelicals are not Christians. And I was on trial by the church. And I said, no, they are Christians because they say, yes, Christ is Lord. How do you know? Paul said it. They have the Spirit of God in them. So I can't forbid someone from receiving communion. Why? Why we do this? Because, you know, number one, I don't like you. Number two, you worship differently. Number three, because I just have a hate for foreigners. As one of our professors used to say to me personally, you know, George, you have a very good academic record, but I just don't like foreigners to come to teach in our faculty. And I said, I am not a foreigner. I am a British by an official declaration of Her Majesty. Oh, she makes mistakes. So what would you say? So Paul is saying, you know, look here. Spiritual gifts are absolutely necessary. But let us look at their function.
Before you go on, Jordan, may I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay. You said
Do we receive the Holy Spirit if we say, I believe, one Christ? One, what did you say? One?
Jesus Christ
is Lord.
Lord. Now that has nothing to do then being baptized.
Oh, before you are baptized, you could say Jesus Christ is Lord, because the Spirit of Christ dwells in you.
That's what. Okay.
You can't say Jesus Christ is Lord without the Spirit.
I understand.
That's why Jehovah Witnesses will never say that. They will never say Jesus Christ is Lord. That is anathema to them.
You know. Where's Philemon letter? Where's Drew?
Pam.
Oh, Pam! You're back to your job.
Poor Drew. Drew doesn't know Pam. He hasn't met Pam yet.
Pam, I missed your nice voice.
Drew, Pam was the first leader, so you gotta...
Are you alright? Are you tired? Are you tired?
No.
Okay.
Just old.
Old? I am ancient. If you are older, I am ancient.
Pam's birthday was Monday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
We'll sing at the end.
Page 4, please.
Brother George, may Christ enlighten your mind and heart and strengthen your will by his love, that you may be truly a disciple of the Lord Jesus, our beloved. Jesus is Lord is not only a confession of the lips, but is also a matter of life and death. Our Lord warned us that many will call him Lord, but some will hear from the Lord, I did not know you. Jesus is Lord of all that is eternal. For those who truly have received eternal life from him know that without Jesus, nothing in them is life or is eternal. Eternal life is the life of Jesus himself, crucified and risen. We in him are dead to the world. That is, we have no source of life from the world, and in him we are alive to God our Father through the life that Jesus gives to us daily. He is our Lord, whose love does not fail because his divine love can remove all obstacles. He is our Lord who sustains us in our struggle against sin. Jesus is our Lord who has planned our future life to be with him in the kingdom and to sit with him on his divine throne to rule the next glorious life in the new earth and the new heaven. He is our Lord who supplies us with his power to love our enemies as he loves his enemies. He is our Lord. He reveals the fatherhood of God and gives us the Holy Spirit to be our comforter. Jesus is my Lord, is my new law that defines for me good and evil. For Jesus is the good, and what is not of Jesus or in Jesus is death and evil. I pray that I have written the basic meaning of the confession, but there is more than what I have said. But as you know, that the name of Jesus is our constant prayer. Love the Lord of love, Jesus the Lord.
Thank you. I wish I could read like you. Now, did you catch at the end, Jesus is my Lord, is my new law? That defines for me good and evil. Because you see, good and evil can be defined by the society. But the definition by the society of good and evil is very often in clash with Christ himself. Society will always say, is good, it doesn't hurt. Is good, it does not intervene in the freedom of somebody else. You know, and they have all their definition of what is good. But it doesn't say it is good because it comes out of creative love, true love, holy love. Because love is always surrounded by a sexual behavior. You speak about love, people always think that there is something more than love in that word, you know, sexual love. There's no, in English we use a word that I'm not hearing in America, genital love. It's not, I haven't heard in America.
No.
No. Is it bad?
Coarse, I think, yeah.
It is coarse, but you know, to warn people that it's heart love. It's not what you think to be the affection and the love you have for someone. But it is actually brotherly love, sisterly love. But you know, here is the definition of good and evil. It's not what hurts. It's what brings life. Now, if I ask you on the end of the... normally, you have to thank Mr. Walter for giving you a blank page at the end. And you know, the Pope's note is... You know who's the Pope?
Russ
Blauer. God bless him. Mm-hmm. He must be looking down at us and say, I got it right by now. And you still struggle with it? I have seen it all by now. Okay. I want you, you don't need to show this to me. I want you to write, why do you believe in the divinity of Jesus? Why? I don't want to make this a public debate, but write your own personal testimony to yourself. Dig down deep in your own consciousness. Why? Is it a habit? Is it church tradition? Is it upbringing? Or is it more than that? I used to look at my friend Philemon, who wrote that letter, used to say to me, my life, my existence has no meaning without Christ. Without Him, I'm zero. I'm nothing. But Christ gave me life. And one day I said to him, I wish I can say the same thing like you. And you know what he said to me? You want to hear what he said to me? He said to me, you know why you are not like me? Why Jesus is not everything in your life? You're still young. You're still full of yourself. You know, but when you love the Lord, you will see something else. You will see yourself greater than it is in the reality you perceive about yourself. And that took time. It didn't come like switching the light on. No, it took time. You know, full of yourself has a bad meaning in Arabic, actually. But all you know is yourself only. And he said, people who love themselves more than they should, you'll have a hard time to convince them of the divine love. Because the only love they know is their self-love. What is the remedy? And he said, there's no remedy. There's no remedy. Now I remember, you know, on the desk of Frank Lake, you know, a quotation that I used to see it every day on his desk. By the time a narcissist is getting better, the psychotherapist is dead. Because it's extreme self-love. And he is only in that room called his self. Nothing exists outside that room. And please, if you are in disagreement with anyone, don't accuse that person to be a narcissist. Because narcissists are unbearable. You know, are unbearable simply because their rotation inside them has one center, the self, and everything rotates around the self. If it opened a little bit of a crack, honestly, that would be a miracle. Some light will get in and the person will change. But according to Frank Lake, that will be the time when the therapist is dead. You know, but it does happen to people. It does happen to people. I used to read the memoirs of officers and soldiers of the Second World War, of some of the Marines who were in Afghanistan and in Iraq. You read their encounter with death, their self-sacrifice, great people, and the impact of the horror of death on them, how it really opened their life to see that they need the love of the others. And once that love gets inside them, they believe in Christ. They look at life and say, there is something more than what we have. Something above what is there to give us stability. Jesus is Lord, is everything that we have. Lose that, there's nothing is left. No adoption, because you are adopted by God the Father through Christ. No eternal kingdom, because Christ gave us the kingdom. No gift of the Spirit, because it comes out of faith in Christ. He is the center of our life. And if I lose that, then there's nothing left. I remember once, because that was a dramatic encounter with a Muslim, living in the same building where I used to live in Egypt. He came and knocked on my door, because there was a funeral in the church and my telephone is very busy. So they phoned the neighbor. I told them they can phone the neighbor in emergency. I don't know what was wrong with my telephone, but he came and said, the funeral at 4:30. You have to be there. So, when it is hot in July, it's really, really hot. I said, thank you. And then suddenly he looked at me and said, why aren't you a Muslim? In Egypt, you hear that question, what, in your life, 10,000 times, at least once a day, at least once a day. And I said, why am I not a Muslim? He got me out of bed, I was fast asleep, having the air conditioned, and some cold water, and when he knocked on the door, I wasn't really in control of my wits. I said, I am a Christian because I'm afraid to go to your heaven. And he said, what's wrong with our heaven? I said, you have bananas and apples and women and
wine.
And wine and meat and everything you want, but you don't have God.
Yeah, God is in a different heaven.
Is it Muslim?
Huh?
Islam, yes.
Yeah, he's in a higher heaven.
Look, young lady, look, just listen carefully to me. God will give the men, not the women. God will give every man a building with 70 floors. Every floor has 70 rooms. Anyone who is good with math or have a calculator. And with every room you have 70 versions. And you go from the first floor to the top. And when you finish, you come down and start again. Up and down, mating with these versions. 70, 70, 70, 70, 70, 70, multiply it. You have time for God. And when you desire some food, the food will come and go right into your lips. If you want wine, a nice boy, will come and pour the wine into your mouth. And I said, I'm afraid to go to your heaven because there aren't any educated people. I need to meet Einstein. I need to meet the scientists and the musicians and the philosophers, and I need to see my maker. I have to say to my maker, why did you create me? You're playing a trick on me to put me in that great
supermarket,
greater than any supermarket on earth. So I become an animal, mating with these women all the time. Wouldn't you give me an idea about yourself? Why do you create me? He get offended. Meeting him sometimes, greeting him, he doesn't reply. So I knew that I offended him. So I took some chocolates and knocked on his door. And I said, I feel that I've offended you. I said, yes. You made fun of my face. And I said, it's all about men. It's all about what you will have in the year after. But I believe in Christ Jesus because He told me that God is my Father. He told me that He is a gift of life from God to me. He told me I'll become like Him. Will you become like Muhammad? And He said, no. I said, well then, I like to become like Christ. What is the problem? Here's some chocolates for you. Let's become friends. And he said, I take the chocolates, but your face is wrong. I said, no. My face is a higher call to a higher level of human life. Now, since I am in your house, I'm allowed to speak even with more freedom. That's Egyptian hospitality, by the way. He cannot kick me out. He cannot even insult me. Because I'm in his house. I'm in your house. I'll tell you the truth. Your face makes you an animal. My face makes me human. Jesus Christ is Lord makes me human. Makes me the child of God. Makes me look at peace, at love, at forgiveness, at reconciliation, accepting my enemies, praying for those who persecute me. Makes me above all this, you know, hatred, you know, the darkness of life. That's the meaning of Jesus Lord. But you know, for you, there's nothing. You are alone. I don't like to be alone. I like to have God in my life. And he said, well, let us stop at that. His wife was in the kitchen and came and said, bring him coffee. And said, is it true that heaven is only for men? And he said, no. Don't you believe that infidelity? I said to her, you know, in the hereafter, you don't know where you're going to end, which floor you are going to be. You may be with your husband, maybe with somebody else. You know, even your mom and your grandmom, you know, God alone knows what will be their fate. The privilege is for men, no privilege for women. But for us, God is the redeemer of humanity, not of a particular gender.
Or race,
or a language, or ethnic origin, you know. Jesus' Lord is for me, is my freedom from all the enslavement that we have inherited in history. And goodbye. I drank the coffee at the door because I kept saying, I think I have really pushed him as far as it will go. And he looked at me and he said, I'm going to bring a cleric to talk to you about that. I said, with pleasure, in the mosque. What about that? And he said, fine, there's a mosque about 10 minutes walk from our house. And I said, in the mosque, I'll meet your cleric and talk to him about what does Christianity mean to me. And then I said to him, you know, you came and asked me why I'm not a Muslim. I'm telling you now why I'm a Christian. You tell me, why are you a Muslim? And he said, I don't know how to answer you, I'll bring a cleric. Fine. He never brought the cleric. Never. Well, see, though it is common for us to say it in church worship, though it is on our lips, you know, but it is life. It is everything that is good in life. It is freedom. Christ is Lord to free me. Christ is Lord, as my friend Philemon said, in order to make me good human. You know, loving the enemies is a great way of freedom. Because, you know, if you don't love your enemy, he will live inside you. Eat your inner life daily. But if you forgive him or her, that is
freedom.
Out of your life. You are free from enmity.
Enmity.
Okay, and that makes you the disciple of Christ. And that requires a divine power. If we cannot do it by ourselves, simply because there is a nature in us that doesn't allow us to love our enemy. Certainly. So I need a divine savior. I forgot the name of that movie of the man who was in the slave trade.
Oh. What's his name?
A very well-known historical figure.
Wilberforce.
Yeah, that's right. And he said, I am a sinner,
I am a great sinner.
But I have a wonderful Savior. Our greater Savior.
Well, Wilberforce wasn't a slave trader. He was a politician.
Not Wilberforce.
The slave trader was the guy that wrote Amazing Grace. Yes. And John
Newton, thank you. You know, that is certainly, if there is anything about to be free in this life, it's the divinity of Jesus. You know, and we hang on that with all what we have, because simply the opposite is death, is darkness, enslavement, is hatred, is the end of our humanity. And you know, it's how easy for you and for me to say Jesus is Lord. You know?
From our lips.
But Christ wants a committed heart. Jesus is Lord. If you go home, there is a black preacher on YouTube. Listen to this man called...
They can look it up under He is My King.
He is My King.
Oh, yeah. We did that at church.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
it's
done at the college park.
It's not a program. It's on YouTube.
He is My King.
Is
the guy
He is My King.
Yeah.
I downloaded that on my iPad, but you know, it didn't come correct. He is My King. It's part of a sermon. And you know, it's fantastic. You know, I love the accent. I love the way he was speaking, you know. And it will be a fatal mistake to imitate him. It will be not authentic. But just listen to it. It grips your heart and mind. He is My King. Do you know him? That could be on the YouTube. He is My King. And it's, you know, I tried to download that from the YouTube on my Mac. It didn't come right. I am not like Kevin and like the other people.
Fire,
it didn't even come on the iPad, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
So listen to it, you know, on the YouTube. Listen to the whole sermon. It's at the end of the sermon. Here is a man who really met the Lord in reality. It's a great thing. Any questions?
I have one. It's just, we've got Jesus is Lord, and then Christ saying, people who say, Lord, Lord, and I will say, I did not know you. What about that?
I think it goes back to what Jesus said from the prophet Isaiah. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. It's what George says, that is it the oral speaking and the word, or is it from the heart? Jesus wants our hearts.
Well, you know, it is very, it's very easy for us to join the crowd. To see a crowd, and by the psychology of the crowd, we can be carried away.
Carried away. Yes.
And for the sake of belonging, you know, we have a friend of ours who was a member of a sect here in Indiana. I think that sect moved from Indiana to
Ohio, the way
to where they committed suicide.
Oh, the Jonesboro.
Yeah. It took her 14 years, Bob, to get out. And when she came out and started to come to see us, there was little left of her own humanity as a woman. Yeah, little of her humanity is left. She's being destroyed, actually, by the cult. Yeah. It took us 2 years to make her smile, to make her dressed like a woman, to make her go to a hairdresser, to change the style of her hair. Simply because it wasn't Jesus is Lord, it was the pastor is Lord. Became a substitute for Jesus. And you know, what has been said there, I don't know what, I got one of their books that she kept with her. And
two things.
Oh, it is, you know, even any reader, because I'm outsider, It doesn't have the same impact on me as those who are inside the circle. Any reader who read the book will shiver. But how can people be captured and say Jesus is Lord, but in fact it is the pastor who is Lord, and led them to commit suicide later on? You know, it is something that is demonic, and that's why when some of the demons cast by Christ and they said, "Oh, we know you. You are the Son of the Holy One," he said to them, "Shut up."
Well, the demons knew him, and the Pharisees didn't.
Yes, because immediately they will add something false after that confession. So he silenced the demons not to add any more. Because after that, what will be added will be confusing and bring utter confusion to people who will hear it. And after all, you don't hear Jesus Christ as Lord from the demons. He is from the prophets and from Christ himself, not from the other source. So it is not very hard to see there's in the are you looking for
no,
he's just got it. What's the name of the man?
It's called
Lockridge?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Do you know him?
Do you know him? Yes, it's a great, great piece to listen to.
That's
rocking. That's, yes. I, you know... Thank you.
Yeah, they piped that in on big system one Sunday.
Yeah, you know, it's fabulous. Bob, it's good to see you.
Thank you.
We kept hearing the news. My news, I got 2 pints of blood, so I became truly American.
Thank you.
And maybe I'll go for another pint.